Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard, and I've got filmmaker Ramon Menon with me. Hey, Ramon.
Hello, Jeff. And hello, everybody. Listen.
Yes, so we just spent, I don't even know how long. The podcast before this one is an interview with Ramon where we talk all about him, his career, his upbringing, his film, The Pay, that was at the Sherman Oaks Film Festival in 2021. And I'll just say right off the top, took home the Grand Jury Award for Best Short Film Horror. So award-winning filmmaker Ramon Menon is on Zoom with me. If you hate the audio quality, blame the Zoom Corporation, not us. But this particular podcast will not be about any of that. You got to listen to the one before it to learn all about Ramon and his work. In this one, we're going to listen to Ramon answer the four questions, the Discover Indie Film four questions, which are favorite films of all time, an underrated film, an overrated film, and a lesser-known film that people should seek out. I happen to know you're a bit of a cinephile and a fan of auteur theory based upon everything you mentioned, and you actually really do appreciate the classics and cinema. So, you ready to tell me your favorite films?
Oh, yes. I'm ready to dive in. You said restricted to three?
Well, the goal is to keep it to three. If you got to go over to have happiness, feel free.
As you can tell, I'm a verbose motherfucker, so restricting it to three is going to be tough. But I will say that my top movie is actually split evenly by three. And that is, the first one is, I mean, it's no particular order, but The Godfather, really fucking love it. It's the cliched choice to go to, but it's the reason it's a fucking cliched choice. Love that movie. The other one is The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Absolutely amazing filmmaking from start to finish. It's probably got my favorite moment in cinema history in it, with when Eli Wallach finishes up with his brother in the church, and he comes back to the carriage, and Clint Eastwood says, "So how did it go?" And Eli Wallach, the audience has just seen Eli Wallach argue with his brother, and then Eli Wallach. But to Clint Eastwood, Eli Wallach says, "Ah, my brother, he loves me. Couldn't let me go. You know, we were catching up, didn't want to leave." And then they start the carriage, and then there's a little tear coming down Eli Wallach's eye. And I mean, Clint Eastwood knows it without saying anything, and he just gives him the cigar. And then the theme of the movie starts up. The Ennio Morricone music starts up. And I was like, this is what I want to fucking do. I need to do this. So that's my favorite moment in cinema history right there. And the third one is Brian De Palma's The Untouchables. I absolutely love that movie. I think it's a masterpiece from start to finish, even despite Kevin Costner. It is a fantastic movie. I mean, he's great in it too, but it's despite Kevin Costner, it's an awesome movie. So I would say like those are my top, like those are my favorite movie, but just split evenly. And I have to I'll throw out like three more. Psycho has to be right up there because of how inventive it is. And the other one is, it's a mad world. I love that fucking movie. It is top cinema from start to finish, epic in all its glory. And I would have to say the other one would be Duck Soup. Yeah, Duck Soup.
Yeah, so you embrace the word favorite the way I love it when people embrace it that way, of a film. You can't, if you come right in the middle of Mad World, you can't stop watching.
Oh, no.
It's
no way.
So funny.
Yeah, it is one of the funniest movies, and it's epic too. It's shot beautifully. That's the 70mm at its best. And to do it with a fucking comedy with so many the funniest people in the world all in it. And it's a treasure hunt movie. It has to be one of my favorites. Clearly. I love it with all my heart. I'll watch it any given time, any given day. And I'll throw one more in that I have to say, Jaws. Love it. Jaws is top. That cinema at its best. You can show that to a person who's never seen anything, doesn't know the English language, has never seen a movie in his life, and he's not going to leave, or he or she is not going to leave. You could take him out of the jungle and throw him into watching a screening of Jaws, and they're not going to leave. It's that good. So I would say, I know you said three, but I have to say it.
No, feel free. I always joke, there's no one with a whistle who's going to blow it when you go over three. And nice list too, because it shows how well balanced you are. You've got your classic Westerns, your classic gangster movies, your, you know, things that are genre defying. You got a classic comedy. I gotta admit, I love the Duck Soup thing because I just think the Marx Brothers, I mean, I can enjoy Three Stooges like everybody else, but the Marx Brothers, there's like a depth and an intelligence to their slapstick.
Oh yeah, like Groucho Marx, and just with working in tandem with Harpo and Chico, and you know, I hate to say it, but even Zeppo, like all of them are fucking amazing, and each of them know what their strength is, and they're working as a team to. Of course, Groucho's stealing the show, but he's only stealing the show because these guys are letting him do it. He's the verbose one. You got the cool, funny, little charming one. And then you have psychopathic Harpo, who's just...
Yeah, who's like basically doing silent film.
Yeah, he's just in a different movie. That's another thing that I love about them. Like, I feel like all those guys are in different movies. They're not in the same movie, yet they're all making it play. And even Zeppo, he's like technically supposed to be like a romantic lead, the way he looks and the way he plays himself off. And I feel like they're all in different movies, and yet they're all making it work. And that's what I love about them.
Yeah. Wonderful. All right. Well, enjoy that. I enjoyed that. So question number two is a film that is underrated.
I would say, off the top of my head, the underrated movie, it's weird. It's a weird one. I'm probably going to regret that I didn't think of another one, but I would say it has to be The Score. There's this Robert De Niro, Edward Norton, Marlon Brando movie. It was made in like 2001. I think it's a mini masterpiece. It's a heist movie. It was directed by Frank Oz. So, I mean, it's a great, totally underrated movie. One of the best heist movies, and so understated too.
You know, the face I made when you said Frank Oz is because I think he might be the most underrated director of our era. I think he's made some amazing films.
Yeah.
I think Dirty Rotten Scoundrels is actually
one of the
best films ever made.
No one.
And I don't think people acknowledge that Frank Oz, that, you know, fine, he was a Muppeteer, he was the voice of Miss Piggy, everything, but the guy was a great filmmaker.
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, amazing, amazing. I mean, and that's why I was like, The Score has to be that for me, because I was just like, I did not expect that movie. That's one of those movies that I walked in and I was like, how good is this? And why the fuck is no one talking about this movie? No one talked about it before it came out. No one talked about it after it came out. Everyone was like, yeah, it's good. So what? You know? And I feel like that 100% is one of the underrated movies. And I have to say another, I'll list two more very quickly. One is Sam Raimi's Simple Plan. No one talks about that, yet it's one of the best found bag of money movies. It is amazing. And it's like a thrill ride from start to finish. Billy Bob Thornton is outstanding. Bill Paxton is outstanding as well. You got to see it. Sam Raimi at his best. In my opinion, that's my favorite Sam Raimi movie. And the last one I have to say that's underrated is From Hell, the Johnny Depp, Albert, the Hughes Brothers movie about Jack the Ripper. I think that movie stylistically had more influence than a lot of movies after it, because it just was one of the most visually inventive movies. I think The Matrix is the only one that's above it, because it came out in 2000. Yeah, I think it came out in 2000 or 2001. And the number of visual tricks that I've seen people use from that all over the world, not just in America, like from world cinema. No one gives that movie any credit, but From Hell. If you haven't seen it, go and watch it. One of Johnny Depp's better performances too. And just a great story overall. And it's based on an Alan Moore comic, which is outstanding in its own way.
Yeah, I know. He's actually an amazing writer, and God, almost everything he does translates so well to the screen.
Yeah, absolutely. He's and actually From Hell doesn't at all reflect the comic. The comic's its own totally different thing. And the movie, it's its own thing. And I'm glad. So then I had two pieces of media that I could, and you know, book and film to go and watch. Same story, totally told in a totally different way. So go check that out. I absolutely love both of the comics.
Actually, I'm going to have to check it out because I missed From Hell. So I got to throw that on my list.
So good. So good.
All right. Well, the next one is a fun question. It's a film that is overrated.
Oh my God. I'm going to get fucking slaughtered for this. The Lord of the Rings.
The whole thing, right? The trilogy.
I would say that would be unfair to say the whole trilogy, but I think definitely the fucking Fellowship of the Ring. I would say the Two Towers, I could sit through and say, okay, I see why they like it. Not for me, but I see why they like it. Again, this is just my opinion, but the Fellowship of the Ring to me is absolutely brutal. It is a brutal movie to sit through. Don't know why. I just couldn't connect with it. And anytime anyone raves about the Fellowship of the Ring, it just makes me cringe. I know it's not a very popular opinion, but
But that's what's fun about these questions is it lets people let it all hang out. But by the way, I totally get it. I mean, I was a pretty big fan of those films, but yeah, Fellowship is pretty much just an act one. It's just like a 3-hour act one.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, how satisfying is that?
It's not. And like, not for me at least. And I tried getting through it again. Like I tried multiple times. I wanted to like it. I really wanted to like it. And I couldn't do it.
My unpopular. I will join you in getting the ire of the fantasy fans, because I really did love those films. And we hosted a friend who didn't have HBO, and she kept coming over like twice a week for us to binge. Oh my God, I was about to say Song of Ice and Fire, Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
And when we finished Game of Thrones with her, we're like, what do we do next? And I said, I've always wanted to watch the extended versions of the Lord of the Rings trilogy. So the three of us sat through 3-4-hour Lord of the Rings movies. And I turned to these two from my now wife and this young actress. And I was like, You know what? That shit don't hold up, because Game of Thrones has come along and said, like, you know, it just set a new level for that genre.
Oh, yeah. Like, it basically, like, the way I think of Lord of the Rings and Game of Thrones is there was John Ford and there was the fucking Searchers and all of that shit, like all the Henry Fonda Westerns, and then there's fucking Sergio Leone. You know, like, he comes in and says, let's add some fucking testicles to this fucking genre. I feel like Game of Thrones took all that Lord of the Rings shit and said, all right, now let's just put some fucking balls on it and see what happens.
Yeah, let's make the politics real. Let's make the death real. Let's kill people we care about.
Yep.
Yeah, and all of a sudden Lord of the Rings becomes a sweet children's book. But so now people will hate me. No, I just wanted to share the hate with you.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate you, even though you're a fan of the Lord of the Rings. I appreciate you.
Though I did think that middle movie, Two Towers, was the best of the three.
Yeah, me too. I honestly, that's why I said I can't talk shit about the whole thing. It's just,
but then the third film was pretty wonderful. And then I guess it's the way the book is written, but it just has five endings in a row. Like, can you please end?
I know. Like, I can't really complain too much about the third one, because I just feel like they were wrapping up such a big story. But I hated the Fellowship. So I'm glad that you are spreading the hate. I appreciate it, because I'm sure no one's going to fucking listen to any of my opinions after this.
Well, you know, fair enough. No, it's a joy to disagree, I think, actually. I love when, like, one of my favorite films, which you did not do, but when someone says one of my favorites is overrated, I go, cool. I appreciate the differences of opinion. We yes. don't have to hate people for having different opinions.
Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I'm glad at least you allowed me the space to say it, Jeff. And thanks. I'm sure any fucking hate mail I get now, I'm going to send it. I'm forwarding it to you.
As you should. If people go on to, if people rush to Instagram right now and go to @RamonMenon and say, how dare you insult Peter Jackson's masterpieces? But hey, you know what? His actual masterpiece was, what was it? Dead Alive?
Dead Alive was amazing. I love Dead Alive. I actually even really liked, what was that other one? Heavenly Creatures?
Creatures, yeah.
Yeah, that's fucking...
There's more to him than Lord of the Rings. Yeah, right, well, you only got one question left. You got a lesser-known film for people to seek out.
Okay, this is where...
And by the way, the score could have worked.
Yeah, I know. The score, 100%. But, I mean, that's still got De Niro and Edward Norton and all that shit. I think a lesser-known movie that I feel that really people should watch is because of how cool... It's again, goes back to this idea that we were talking about in the previous episode where you should not know, at least the kind of movies that I like are movies that you don't know where it's going. And you just can't tell what's going to happen. And right to the very last fucking frame, you're on the edge. There was this movie that this French filmmaker named Jean-Pierre Melville did. The movie is called Les Doulos. And the spelling is Le and Doulos is D-U-O-L-O-S. It's got Jean-Paul Belmondo in it. Is it Jean-Paul? Yeah, Jean-Paul Belmondo. And he gives a fantastic performance. It's a heist movie. No, it's not even a heist movie. Yeah, it's a heist movie that turns into something else. It turns into this whole, like, who's the rat kind of a movie. I think that's one of the best experiences I had, just watching a movie that I had no fucking idea where it was going. And it's a French black and white movie, but it holds up so well. Because you're on the edge the whole time. You don't know whether the bad guy is the good guy or not the entire way. And it's something that I would love to have more people see and just be like, oh, yeah, have you seen fucking Les Doulos? Yeah. I feel like that's a movie that needs its love.
Fair enough. All right. I'm looking at its IMDb page right now. So,
yeah,
I'm going to throw that fucker on my list because, It's so hard to watch all the films you want to see nowadays.
Much
content, but you got to focus on the good stuff.
Yeah, I purposely like stayed away from not naming the content ones just because it's tough to even like sift through them. It's almost like these are the ones that I feel like are not around, and I think that does need and deserve the love a little bit more just because you just fucking can't find them. Like that easy. I'm sure you can find them if you want, but it's just not, you can't just go to like Netflix and be like, there's Les Doulos. I'd probably like cream in my fucking pants if I fucking saw Les Doulos show up on Netflix.
Yeah, I know. No, they're not embracing that world anymore. You get a little bit of foreign cinema, I think, on HBO Max, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. HBO Max, in my opinion, is the best fucking streaming platform. Even though it's shitty with the interface, I hate the fucking interface, but the movies on it are like absolutely killer.
Yeah, they have best movies, wonderful TVs. I love also love the Adult Swim stuff is on there.
Yeah. all the Aqua Teen, the fact that they have Aqua Teen on there, like to me that's what sold it, you know, like all I know, you know, like there's that whole episode with the dog, you know, all I know is where it's like ball and good and then he says something else, and they're like, "Oh, this dog."
I I'm not going to dive in with you, but I just learned that you and I could discuss Aqua Teen Hunger Force for half a day.
Yeah.
I think that might be one of the most brilliantly together things ever. It's so freaking, I can't get enough of that show. Actually, that's the show I watch when the wife and kid are like busy and I'm not allowed to watch. And I feel like watching something and I'm like, well, horror I have to watch with a kid, you know, TV series I binge with the wife.
Yeah.
When I'm watching something that's just for me, it's Aqua Teen and and the Eric Andre Show.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like, I feel Adult Swim honestly had the most inventive programming. Just the random shit, like Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law, you know, like what the fuck? Like, to me, I was like, this is where you can take entertainment to, you know, and no, like it's great. And people love it. Everyone loves Adult Swim, yet it's just so played down that, oh, it's almost like this, like, oh yeah, we'd really rather not watch it. But when you actually get into it, like a conversation, you're like, oh yeah, fuck, Space Girls Coast to Coast, you know, like that shit. So I'm glad that you're a fellow Aqua Teener.
Aqua Teen Meatwad, man.
Yeah. Oh my God. And even that guy, the neighbor, what's his name? Carl?
Carl. Jeez. Carl's funny as hell.
Like, probably one of the best supporting characters in any TV show ever.
I swear. That show is so good. All right. Well, we won't keep talking about Adult Swim, as fun as that would be. Instead, we'll wrap this up. I guess I jokingly already threw out your Instagram handle. Yes. So yes. For people who want to learn more about you and your films, plural, they should go to @RamonMenon. And it'll be in the show notes too. And now I will rattle off a couple things before we go, which is, thank you, Ramon, for doing the Discover Indie Film Podcast.
Thank you for having me on, Jeff. Really appreciate it. And the whole Sherman Oaks Film Festival team. Come watch, come support them. They're an amazing festival, and Jeff is an amazing, amazing festival director, and he will get you hammered. I'll tell you that.
I will. And now, if you want to, well, first, you should like and subscribe to the podcast. I think I forgot to say that last time. I never say like and subscribe, but yeah, I think it's required that I say that. If you want to learn more about this podcast or the Amazon Prime TV series it gave birth to, just go to discoverindiefilm.com. And on social media, it's @DIFWINS. And Ramon was just kind enough to talk about the Sherman Oaks Film Festival. It is it's a really nice festival. It's really good. And if you want to attend for free, just, you know, go on Instagram and send a thing saying, hey, can I get a free ticket? We say yes to everybody.
Yeah, it's better than just nice, Jeff. You're underplaying this fucking shit. It's better than just nice. It's a fucking rock and roll, rollicking good goddamn time.
And we and all we care about is that all the films are great. Like, we just don't show a bad film. We really don't. And anyway, you go to ShermanOaksFF.com to learn more, and it's @ShermanOaksFF on social media. Sherman Oaks Film Festival has a sister festival called Film Invasion Los Angeles. We hold that one every June. Sherman Oaks Film Festival is every November. In June, you can learn about that festival if you go to filminvasionla.com, and it's @filminvasionla on social media. I think I'll wrap it up there. I won't even mention THC Cinema, but people can look it up now. They've heard that. If you like THC, if you know what THC stands for, you should probably check out THC Cinema on social media and the web. Thank you, Ramon.
Thank you, Jeff.
It was an absolute pleasure talking to you. And thank you, everyone, for listening.